All right. Be seated, if you will, just for a few minutes. This comes out of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness, or foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent. So where does this leave the philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world look foolish, since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom. He has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans. And God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful or wealthy when God called you. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. As a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God. God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord.
As I was in the office, the Spirit of God said, talk about the cross tonight. And so when we sing that song, it's like, here we go. Let's just roll it all out. And we don't have much time. I got two more minutes in order to share this with you. But the thing about the cross is what it represents. Now, there's probably many different teachings and different areas that people can go in, but for tonight's sake, we're going to look at it from the standpoint of how Jesus brought it. The cross meant death. Death and self-denial. The cross meant dying to yourself, but also recognizing that daily you face death because of the message, because of the Savior, because of God's plan of redemption. Paul lays it out in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Not everything, but he lays quite a bit out in saying, you know, God didn't choose the smart people. Not that he chose all dumb people. There are some smart that got saved, just as surely as it was in Jesus' day. Jesus had some wealthy friends. Even though he spent time with sinners, tax collectors, harlots, if you will, Jesus had some wealthy friends. It wasn't many, but he had some. But the majority of the people that Jesus ministered to and received were those that we would call the have-nots. Those that really didn't have much going for them. They were, if you will, considered the scum of the earth. The outcast, if you will. Those that had really nothing a wish to bring to the table. except belief. The sinners, the tax collectors, the harlots, the prostitutes, they believed Jesus. This is why he could sit in their midst. And it wasn't like he was just sitting in the midst, drinking with them, partying with them, having a good time, as they would say, with them. He was there promoting the kingdom of our God and Jesus himself, the Christ. He was there teaching them about the love of the Father, how much Daddy loved them, how much they meant to him. He was there teaching them about life in the kingdom, just like he taught Nicodemus when he came to him at night about being born again. I don't believe that was the only time Jesus taught him the subject. I believe he taught everybody. He held back nothing that he was supposed to give to the people in his short time here on earth, as well as his short 3.5-year earthly ministry. But Jesus ministered to those that were not necessarily the wealthy, the noble, the elite, the upper class, if you will, primarily to those that even the children of Israel would draw back from. Because they were Jew and all others were Gentiles, they didn't want to touch them, they didn't want to eat with them, they didn't want to have anything to do with them, because they kept themselves separate from them, even though during that time, they were still involved in heathen practices, many of them. It wasn't just the heathen that were worshiping the false gods. The people of God were actually worshiping false gods as well. When you read in the book of Acts and you see how Paul would go from one place to the next and he would encounter the worship of idols and statues and things like that, and dealing with sorcery and witchcraft, if you will, many of the children of Israel, many of the Jews were engaged in those practices as well. But he didn't come necessarily to the special or to the elite. He came, as he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but I came to call sinners unto repentance. And so Paul lays it out here in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and from verse 18 on to verse 30. It's like, you see, brethren, your calling. Not many mighty, not many noble, that's King James. But he chose the weak and the beggarly. And so the cross itself meant death. And it meant nothing you have achieved or accomplished in your life thus far is sufficient to pay the righteous requirement required of God for your salvation. So you die to everything. Everything earthly, all of the accomplishments. Paul said, I basically count it all as dung. Everybody knows what dung is. It's not just murky mud. It's dung. It's what we excrete from our behind, if you will. It's boo-boo. It's poop. That's what he counted it as. He didn't boast in his achievements or his accomplishments. He had to bow at the cross and give up everything. And he counted it an honor and a privilege in order to obtain the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. He counted everything else as dung. Okay. I want to cover one more passage here. This is out of Matthew chapter 10, dealing with verse 16 through 40. It's a lot of verses. I won't be able to read them all. Look, I am sending you out as sheep among wolves. So be as shrewd as snakes and harmless as doves. But beware, for you will be handed over to the courts and will be flogged with whips in the synagogues. Jesus, did you really say that? You will stand trial before governors and kings because you are my followers. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. When you are arrested, you mean I got to go to jail? Don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. For it is not you who will be speaking. It will be the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. A brother will betray his brother to death. A father will betray his own child. And children will rebel against their parents and cause them to be killed. And all nations will hate you because you are my followers. But everyone who endures to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. Students are not greater than their teacher, and slaves are not greater than their master. Students are to be like their teacher, and slaves are to be like their master. And since I, the master of the household, have been called the prince of demons, the members of my household will be called by even worse names. You see why we got to die. He doesn't paint the pretty picture of saying you're all going to, listen, don't misunderstand me about prosperity. I'm not belittling that. It's okay to prosper and we ought to prosper. But if our only witness is in material things, we miss the mark. But he didn't say you're going to be rolling in a Bentley. You're going to be living in an earthly mansion. You're going to be wearing the finest jewelry and wearing the finest clothes and wearing the finest shoes, and everybody's going to bow down before you and say, oh, look how wonderful you look and how blessed you are. No, he gave us, what do they call it? He gave us the real deal. He says they're going to hate you. He says they're going to throw you in prison. He says they're going to beat you. And when they beat you, they're going to think that they're doing me a favor. He doesn't say me, but he says, they're going to think that they're doing God a favor. You see why we have to die. This is why we come to the cross. We come to the place of self-denial. We come to that place where we're at the end of our lives and we begin his life. We die to ourselves. As the scripture says, reckon yourselves dead indeed to sin, but alive to God. That's what the cross represents. It represents death. Death to who? Death to you. Jesus said, if any man's going to follow me, let him deny himself. This is the cross. Let him take up his cross and let him follow me. Daily, our lives are on the line. We just happen to live in a nation right now where we're not being persecuted. But guess what? Persecution is on the rise. I tell you what, y'all elect Hillary Clinton, you watch and see what's going to happen. You watch and see. They're getting emboldened with their agenda. It's not like Trump is the best person. It's not like he has the best character. It's not like he's the best fit. But when you compare the two, there's a striking contrast between them. It's a difference between corruption and then imperfection. Imperfection can be perfected, but corruption only gets more and more corrupt. And this is what the choices are. Come November the 8th. This is why we pray for not only Preacher Man, but for others like Preacher Man who are being raised up under the truth of God's word, anointed by the Holy Spirit, have the word in their bosom, and aren't afraid or ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need the righteous in power so the people can rejoice. We got to come to the cross. We got to die to ourselves. Because so many of us are still alive, it hinders the moving of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost has the toughest job of all. I thank him that he hasn't left. I thank him that Ichabod has not taken place. Because it can. If you don't honor him, if you don't respect him, if you don't allow him, because he's not going to force you to do anything. But if you're not going to yield and submit yourself to his authority and rule, you're going to make it difficult for God to get his job done in the earth. This is why we come to the cross. We come to the end of our lives. What's most important to us, it changes because it becomes what's most important to us is what's important to him. And this is how we live our lives daily. It's called the life of crucifixion. Some would say, we're not supposed to live the crucified life. We're supposed to live the resurrected life. You can't resurrect unless you are dead. And the only way you die is when you come to the cross of Jesus Christ, where you end your life and you live for him. Ever punched a dead man, Brother Joshua? I never have. But if I punch one, I don't expect him to get out of that casket. If he does, we are in trouble. Praise God. Ever insult a dead man or a dead woman? Did they get up and say anything? Ever offend a dead person? Ever lied on a dead person? Did that dead person raise up and no. Because they're dead. And when we are dead, we don't get affected by the things going on around us. The life that we now live, according to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, and I'm going to stop with this. The life that we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. We have to die. There's no other. No other alternative. No other choices. It's not an ABC. Well, how about if I live half my life for Jesus and half my life for myself? It's like, no, you got to eliminate self out of the whole picture. But if I do that, then how am I going to enjoy life? See, you won't enjoy it until you step in fully to the things of God. You're never going to enjoy it. As long as you're living a double life. Anybody remember that comedy, The Double Life of Henry Fife? You have to be a little bit older. I won't go into details about it. But if we live a double life, if we try and live our own life and then try and live the life of God, it's going to be miserable for us. Perfect peace only comes when the Prince of Peace is ruling and reigning. 100% in charge. Jesus led the way and he led it by example. Paul said it best, follow me as I follow Christ. We once knew him as a man in human form. We no longer know him like that anymore. Paul was like, I persecuted the church. If there's anybody that ought to be disqualified, it ought to be me. I tried to shut the thing down. I threw Christians in prison. I consented to them being stoned to death. I grabbed families and had them thrown in prison everywhere that the way was being preached. Paul hunted them down in order to stop the word until he got knocked off of that donkey. And he said, who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And that dramatic change took place in his life. He went from a persecutor of the church to a wise master builder of the church of the living God. He died to himself. He died to his reputation. He died to being a Benjamite. He died to being circumcised on the eighth day. He died to every earthly privilege that he had encountered or he had earned. He died to being taught at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the best teachers of his day and time. He died to being a Pharisee. He said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Praise God. They threw him in prison. They beat him. They left him for dead. Still, he got up and preached the gospel. Never stopped. Never thought for once, man, this is just too much. Cast out a demon of divination out of the girl. They threw him in prison. They beat him and threw him in prison. And they're singing at midnight. That's when you're dead to yourself. Instead of licking the wounds that were caused by others that were unjustly imposed on you. They were unjustly to the point to where when the leaders the next day said, okay, you guards, you go down there and tell them the prisoners are free. And so they go to the Philippian jailer and they tell him the prisoners can go free. Paul's like, and he didn't have to say anything. He's like, go free? Go free? We are Romans, and you have beat us without trying us, and you just expect us to go? We demand an apology. They came on right down there. We sorry. We won't do it no more. Please go. Don't get us in trouble, because if you tell the authorities, our heads are on the line. I don't know. I don't think that was his flesh. I think it was just proving a point. But at the cross, stand to your feet. At the cross, where I first saw the light, the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. Now I'm happy all the day. I've got other scriptures I wanted to go over, but for sake of time and then also to share about the good things with the online giving as well as the prayer requests that have come before us, I think it's time well spent. Amen. Hallelujah. So we love you dearly, and Father, we just thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for favor, blessing, overflow. We thank you for revival. We thank you that we are revived and continue to be revived. And let the fire spread. Let the zeal and the enthusiasm spread. Let the joy spread. Let it run its course in Jesus' name. Lord, we want our community saved. We want our cities saved. We want the surrounding cities saved. We want them turned upside down. Down with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We come through the cross. Hallelujah. We die to ourselves, Master, that we may live unto you. We die to ourselves, Master, that we no longer are in the way. We experience your resurrection power operating in us as we continue to get out of the way. Take over these earthen vessels. Lead us in the direction you would only have us to go. We follow you and follow hard after you in the name of Jesus. The governor of Georgia, I believe it was, came against this pastor and told him that he had to send him every one of his sermons, all of his notes, wanted everything that he had to deal with him preaching the gospel. These are the times that we live in. Persecution is going to get worse. Because either persecution is going to come because we will not bend and we will not bow, or many are going to comply. And in their complying, they're going to lose out. The power source will flow to those who will stand, having done all to stand, resisting the wiles of the devil, resisting everything coming against them. But those that will bend and bow, while they may be spared in the eyes of man, they will be despised in the eyesight of God. November 6th is known as a day and has been declared as a day of prayers and intercessions for the persecuted church. Put that on your calendar. Be mindful of it. That we pray for the saints of God that are being persecuted all over the world, because persecution is happening. and pray that our brothers and sisters, no matter where they are, that they will not bend and they will not bow, but they'll stand for the truth irregardless. As I said earlier, that if someone was to put the, you'd be so confident in the God that you serve and in his word and in his will, that if they put a gun to your head and say, deny your faith, you'll tell them, pull the trigger, because you're not going to deny your faith. So Jesus, we give you glory. Command your blessing upon your people. I declare that the Lord our God bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, because you're the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. May he bless you. Bless the works of your hands, order your steps. The steps of a good man and a good woman, they are ordered of the Lord. So may he order your steps in the way that you ought to go. Keep you in all of your ways. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees, said amen. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you for being here. We love you dearly. Don't forget Friday.